Hear me on that mentality. It's the same. It comes from the same root. It comes from the same place, source, that says, well, I don't have to go to church. God will meet me in my truck. Well, I don't have to go to church. God will meet me in my bass boat on Sunday. Well, I don't have to go to church. He'll meet me in my tree stand or at the golf course. Fill in the blank. And there's some truth in that. God has met me in a deer stand. God has met me to reprimand me on the golf course for getting so mad and about saying something I probably shouldn't know. But God's met with me on a boat. God's met with me out there doing about everything. But that does not alleviate the high importance of God's house, of gathering together. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more. As you see that day approaching, and boy, if you have your eyes open, you see that day approaching. I don't have time to go into this at all, but have any of you been paying attention to Iran and China and Russia and the alliance and the league they just made? That is huge biblically. That had to happen, and it just did, and no press over it. You have to go searching to find out it even happened, but in the dark of night, that has happened. And boy, that's a major red flag in prophecy. And so I'm just saying, I see that day approaching, and if there's ever been a day and hour where we, the blood-washed children of God, should have a desire and need the house of God. And I, listen, you may not understand this, but I'm telling you, if you're saved, you need it. We should want it, and I do. I love the house of God. I love church. I love the people of God, the Word of God. I love it, and I desire to come. But even if that wasn't true, I need it. I mean, I need it. There is a dark, dark, wicked world that we're living in. Bible said in the last, it'd be perilous days, and we're living in perilous days. And so if there's ever been a time you need church, not less of it, but more of it. It's in these days. And I know how hot it is. I'll just go ahead and plug the camp meeting. I know how hot it is. But it ain't so hot that it'll keep you off the golf course. It ain't so hot that it'll keep you off a fishing boat or at a ball game. Hello, Tokyo, y'all out there. We can do anything else. So spare me with the excuses of, oh, I just... Now, if you're physically unable, God understands that. God understands that. But if you're a hypocrite, God understands that too. And He knows the difference. I ain't mad at you. I love you. That whole thing sprung from the same source of people saying, I don't have to come to the altar to do business with God. See, we've got out of the routine and we've got out of the habit of coming to the altars. It bothers me. We've got deacons in our church that I rarely see come to an altar. It bothers me that we have Sunday school teachers that I rarely see come to an altar. Preachers that rarely come. I mean, I know you people. You ain't that close to God. You ain't that perfect. I have needs of using this altar. I have needs of bowing my heart and bowing and bending my knee. But you say, but I don't have to do it there. That in of itself is a sign of how bad you need it. That is rebellion. It says, I don't have to bow. No, you need to bow. I need to bow. Say amen right there. That's right. It comes from the same, that mentality, that attitude comes from the same source of those who get out of church and say, I don't have to go to church. for God to meet with me. Do you feel that? Do you hear that rebellious spirit in that statement? I don't have to ask them. So, won't you come to church? I don't have to come to church to meet with God. That's that same attitude. I don't have to come to the altar for God to meet. Listen, I didn't come here to fuss with you this morning. I'm trying to help you. God meets people, and if you got the time, honey, I got the Bible to show you. God meets with people in a special way. God put a high premium on altars. Look at every great thing God did in the Old Testament. Immediately after, they built an altar. I didn't make this up. This is God's way. And if you feel like you done got too big for your britches to use it, God may whittle you back down to size and show you how desperately bad you and I need the altar. I'm not preaching at any of you. I'm preaching to all of us. We need the altar. Amen. Well, that costs you absolutely nothing. That was free of charge. Amen. All right, take your Bible and go with me to the Gospel of Mark. I struggled with continuing the message on buying the truth and selling it not, and we will get back there, but that thing got so big, I had to pause there and so I could gather my thoughts together and separate all that out the way we're going to go into that series of messages. But this morning, just a simple thought, but a needed thought. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 11. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll read and reverence the Word of God together. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. If you're there, say amen. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. You can have a seat, and straightway he will send him hither. I got so tied up on the phrase I wanted to look at. Didn't mean to have you sit down early, but it goes on to say, and the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Is that what your Bible reads? Verse number 3, correct. So here is this very familiar, famous even, portion of Scripture where Jesus and his disciples are there, have come now to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, and they are at a place to where Jesus knows, the disciples don't know what's going on, but of course Jesus, the Son of God, God, He's God, He knows what's going on. Has it ever occurred to you? No, nothing ever occurs to Him. He's God, He knows what's going on. Even when He was in His earthly body, He knew exactly. And so He being there, He knew what was about to take place, and He gives some instructions to these disciples, and they pretty weird instructions. If somebody come and told me what Jesus told these boys to do, they'd have to be Jesus telling me that. I'll just say it that way. Somebody tells me, how many of you remember Rodberry? Well, Rodberry had cows all over the place, and if somebody come and said, hey, how about you and so-and-so, how about y'all go down there and grab one of Rodberry's cows and bring it to me? Well, you liable to get shot. You go doing business like that. You just don't go taking men's livestock, is my point, not in these parts. And so Jesus tells these two disciples, I need you to go down and they're in an unfamiliar place and wasn't their cousin's house or nothing normal like that, and says, go and find this colt, and he'll be tied and whereon never a man sat, and loose him and bring him, because I have need of him. Now what's amazing to me, look at verse 4. I'm not going to preach on this part, but look at verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Jesus told them, I have a need. I want you to go down where the two roads meet, and you're going to find the colt tied. I want you to go find that colt, loose him, and bring him to me. And if anybody tries to stop you, and they say, just tell them, I have need. Y'all with me? Do you read anywhere between verse 3 and verse 4 where, I'll just say this, I know these two disciples were not Baptist. I can prove it. Nowhere between verse 3 and verse 4 do you see where they said, now let us think about this. We're going to have to call a meeting, and we're going to have to get the brethren together and call even a prayer. We'll just make it religious sounding. We're going to have a prayer meeting about this before we take out and go do such a thing. No, the Bible just said when Jesus said what he said, and they went. No fuss, nothing to discuss. Jesus spoke the word. And verse 4 said, and they went. Boy, wouldn't it do us good if we could just get on terms with God like that? When he says something, just obey it. Like the song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but trust and obey. Well, I must hasten. The God who scooped all the mountains in the world and piled them up out of the hollow of his hand. In this text, that same big God has a need. Ain't that amazing? You try to Google mountain builders. You ain't gonna find any. There ain't no such thing as mountain builders. Because God is the only one big enough to do that. Yet that great big God said to us he had a need. The God who flung the stars out into the galaxies and into orbit and just like and just looked at them. I mean, just flung them out there and looked and gazed at them. And they began to twinkle. And just like that, God had lights in off his front porch and lights off his back porch. What power, what wisdom. And yet that great big God who could do that, and who the Bible says he measures all that with a span. A span is from there to there, from your fingertip to your thumb. He can measure all the galaxies. That great big God has a need. He's the sovereign, almighty, reigning, wonderful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent Jehovah God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, but he is a God who has a need. He's the God that scooped up dirt off the ground and formed it and breathed into it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Yet that same God has a need. A God who can create people can and did have a need. And I heard this the other day, and then we'll move fast, but I thought it was good. Did you know that in the human body there are as many blood vessels as there are train tracks in the United States of America in one body? The average heart is 6 to 8 inches long, and a person that lives to be just 40 will pump enough blood to fill up 3 Exxon tankers and haul them across the ocean and back 7 times that one old heart. Your heart will beat over 1 million times this month. God built and designed that heart that's able to do all of that. And yet, that same God has a need, and only me and you can fill it. Ain't that amazing? You are not here by accident. God needs you. He created you because He had a need. And it's us who that can fill it. Only we, not animals. Listen, I'm not against animals. I love animals. I do. I don't go overboard with it. When they start saying I got to quit my hunting and fishing, well, you just done crossed the line. I'm not that. I don't love animals that much. I love to eat animals. But we are not on the same level as animals. God created us higher than the angels, than the angels and than animals. How? Why? What's the difference? We have a volition. We have a will. Animals do not. And I'm not going to get into a theological debate with you. And I know there's some high-named preachers written books even recently about how he can prove to you your little Fifi or your little doggy is going to be with you in heaven. I hate to break your heart. Jesus didn't die for your dog. Flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. That's what the Bible says. So if your dog there, ain't no flesh and blood there. And Jesus didn't die for it. Jesus died for people. And Jesus created man. God created man in the beginning because God had a need. God wanted to fellowship and commune with people. And God wanted people in and of their own will, of their own choice, by their own volition, to choose to worship Him and adore Him and magnify Him. Not robotics, not because He made it to be that way. They had to do it. Angels, the cherubims and the seraphims, they constantly in heaven right now and for always since they've been created cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, holy." They were created to do that. But us, God give us a choice. You don't have to. It's up to you. You can not worship Him. You can live your whole life for yourself. Not acknowledge God, never speak to God, never even acknowledge He's there. You have that right because God give it to you. However, He also give you the right to speak to Him, to worship Him, to receive Him, to have a living fellowship and relationship with Him, and did everything possible for that to happen. And so I want to look, considering what does it take to, what kind of characteristics does it take to be a person that God needs? I'm not going to go to 14 other places in the Bible this morning. I'm not going to have you running here and there. No, we're going to stay right here in this text. And we're going to preach out of the text, and I want to show you at least 3 characteristics of people that God said He needed. And He used them. And so let's look at this real quickly this morning. Number one, He had a need for men that were available. That's right. Again, verse 1 said, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples." He couldn't have sent them had they not been there. They were available. Do you know, I have people from time to time who get angry at me and say, "Well, you just never use me. I want to be more involved in the church, and I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do that. And you've never called on me to pray, and you've never called on me to sing, and you've never asked me to teach a class," and the list goes on and on. Could I just say in love this morning, you have to be here for me to use you. You say, "Well, I was there in spirit." Your spirit don't do nothing. Well, look at there. I just sat on somebody's spirit. Didn't hurt them a bit. No. I ain't never seen a spirit pushing a broom, and if I do, I'm running. I ain't never seen a spirit pray, lifting their hands and praising the Lord. Listen, it takes you being here to do and make up what the body is. It takes us being present and available. You say, "But I want God to speak to me." Then come. I need a word from God. You got to wait. I'm not knocking social media. I'm not knocking. God knows my heart. I'm not knocking live streaming. I've thought about doing it. Still may in the future. I don't know. But if we do, it'll be to a very select few people, like shut-ins and people who can't get here. Because you know what's happened? You know what's eat the heart out of churches in America since COVID? Trust me, I know the numbers. I study this. This is my job. This is my calling. And do you know that over a third, over 33% of the church that was faithful, I'm not talking about just who was on the roll book. Over 33% of people who were faithful pre-COVID, like faithful.
Yeah. Go ahead, preacher.
33% in churches are wiped out. The number one reason when polled and called and studied is this. We've just found it just as easy to stay home and watch it from the house on live stream. Can I say, the Bible don't say one blessed word about watching it on live stream. It says a lot about gathering. Do you know, during the pandemic, I prayed about it, Brother Jackie. I even thought about live streaming. I never went that route. You know why? Even when we would come as a body of believers together against, I got criticized from a bunch of different people, had preachers tell me I was crazy. Why you got them people come up there and sitting in their cars? What good's that going to do? I drove all the way to the other side of North Carolina and bought a transmitter so that we could come together and gather together. Even if separated by cars, we were together. And I'd go out there and preach in the freezing rain and the freezing cold and the hot, whatever the conditions I want. It was a priority for me as the pastor of this church that we not fail to come together. And because of that, our church has lost. We gained. We didn't lose 33%. We grew. That's not a pat on my back. I'm saying, thank God for the... Hey, that we grew because that's God's method. That's God's way. God said, come together. You can't have a church that ain't a church. You can't have a remote church. We can't do church by Zoom. I understand in a pinch. I understand when you're forced to and have to in a bad situation, but that is not the norm, and God never will check off on that being the norm. No, we need to be available. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. When some of you know what your problem is? God bless you. I'll preach to you. I ain't scared of none of you. Are you hearing me? Some of you just don't like church. You look for reasons to get out of church. You'll work a little longer. You'll plan a little more. You'll put this on the calendar and that on the calendar, and you'll come up with reasons why you can't. I would have loved to have been there. You do what you love. You make what you love a priority. You know why I always find myself at the end of the day in the bed with that beautiful woman right there? Because it's a priority to me. There ain't another woman on planet Earth who's more of a priority to me than her. And I will always, by the grace of God, be with her. And I'll fight you over that. Whatever you love, you'll find a way to do it. Some of you even use health as an excuse. Well, they can't pick and pry right there. They don't know if I'm sick or not. I'll tell you this, God's keeping good records. That God's keeping good records. It's like childish. Children, Brother Jeff, children will play sick. Oh, I feel so bad today. I can't go to school. I've even done, I'm in church, I got to tell the truth. I've even done so bad as to get a hairdryer and blow my head with it and let mama feel, see how sick I am. I worked harder at not going than I'd have had to work if I'd have just went. And some of you work harder at not coming to church than if you just get faithful and come. Amen. Do you know how big of a hypocrite you look like when you say you can't come to church because you're sick, but you can do everything else? Yeah. Do you really think you're fooling people? Oh, I couldn't be there. I had a stomach virus. But then people saw you out in the community that day when you couldn't have made it to church, but you can do everything else. I'm simply saying, God keeps good records. Amen. And this is the reality of it all. This is the reality of it all. The truth is, I can't get into your head and tell whether or not you're sick or not. And I ain't going to try. Amen. If somebody tells me they're sick and can't, that's as far as I can go. God takes it from there. I don't have to. God, you know why? Because God didn't give me the ability, Brother Raymond, to know the intents of the heart. He, however, does have that capability. He, however, specializes in knowing how to do that. So tag God, you're it. And I wash my hands and move on. But don't get mad. Don't get mad. Don't get mad when you ain't here, when you're not available, and I move on. Amen. I don't care what position it is. This is the truth. Any position, it works this way in the corporate world. It works this way on the workforce. It works this way in football, baseball. I don't care how valuable you are. I don't care how long you've been with the team. If you cannot be counted on, you can't be counted on. We can't live there forever. We must eventually put somebody in that slot or it's going to hold the whole team back. And I don't care if you Michael Jordan. Hey, listen, I don't care if you Michael Jordan in that spot. Eventually, the Chicago Bulls went on to play without Michael Jordan. Why? Because they couldn't afford and could not allow one man to hold the whole team back. And if that man is me, or if that man is you, or if that woman is you, your Sunday school class should not be held hostage because of you. Your youth group should not be held hostage because of you. These disciples were used by God because He needed them. And He picked them, and He touched them, and He spoke to them. How? Why? because they were available. He didn't have to send out a group of bloodhounds to search and find for them. Then, here y'all are. Now, will y'all go down and find this colt I was looking? No. Those, they were right there. Boys, at the end of this road, where the road meets, you're going to find a colt. I don't think he had to lift his voice. He didn't have to call the FBI. He didn't have to get out Life 360. Say, well, I'll be trying to find out when Jenny's going to get home. She's turning in right now. My food is finally here. No, they were available. They were there. Oh, goodness. Notice something about these two. They were nearby. He didn't have to go hunt them, find them. They were there. They were close enough to where God could speak to them, and they clearly heard what he said. It's a sad day. Please hear me. If you ain't getting nothing I said, hear this statement. It's a sad, sad day when God will pull a man up out of hell, forgive his wretched soul, save him, clothe him in righteousness, make him fit for heaven. And that man won't walk close enough to God, the God who saved him, for God to even speak to him. And yet, that's where the majority of the church lives. Just out of hearing distance from the Lord. And we've become okay with it. You must be, if you're going to be somebody, hey listen, God said, I have a need. I need you. You are my need. But if you're going to be able to meet my need, you got to be available. You got to be near me. Listen, I've been far from the Lord so far. I mean, I couldn't hear his voice for nothing. I was, seemed like millions of miles from God. Backslid. I mean, like God was 10 trillion miles away. And I thought he was gone forever. I know what it's like to be out of the distance to where you can hear God. Where sin has seared your hearing. I mean, you can't hear God. What an awful place. What an awful. I've been there, but I've also been, hallelujah, so close, Brother Alex, amen, that he could barely whisper.
Sir.
And I could hear him. Intent on it. I'm like a point dog, boy. I was on target. Yes, Lord. Got a need? Where, Lord? Just point me there. Speak, Lord. Go this way. Turn that way. Say that. Don't say that. Oh, I like being close to him. I hate being far from him. And after being in both those places, listen to me, it's not even up for debate which is better. Can't even compare the joy that it brings to your heart. No sin can satisfy you or bring pleasure to you like being close to the place where Jesus can speak softly to you and say, I need you. And you be there ready, willing, and waiting to say, yes, sir, Lord. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Send me. There is no greater pleasure than meeting the need of Jesus. But you can't do that if you're not available. Not only were they near, but they were needed. He had a particular task he needed them to do. Go down yonder and bring me this. God has things and people in places that he needs you to go get. We are the hands of Christ. He's the head, but we are the body. We are the mouth of Christ. He needs us. He needs his body operating fully and functionally in this earth, in this world, to reach lost souls, number one. Number two, to help lift the burdens and carry the burdens of other believers, to help strengthen the church, to help edify the church. I mean, listen, you say, what's God think about the church? I mean, I can come, I can take it or leave it. I can come and go. Whatever you say. Hey, I'll tell you what Jesus thinks about the church. Brother Ned, he loves the church so much he died, shed his own blood, gave himself, purchased the church with his own blood. So there ain't no take it or leave it. If you save, take it. If you ain't, leave it. Unless you want to get saved, then you won't want to leave it. It's needed. These boys were needed. If you're going to be able to meet the need of God, listen, understand you're needed. He had a particular place and task for them. God has something for every child of God to do. Somewhere for you to go. Something to utilize you so that we can bring in the triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ to Paclet. He was needing these disciples to go get the colt that was tied to, at the end of the road to the tree, loose that colt, bring that colt back to Jesus that had never been ridden, so that they had no idea why. And a lot of times things are going on, and you don't have to know all the details. Just when he's doing something, do it. You don't have to have all the details. What if I said, but which tree, Lord? Will it be an oak? Will it be a pine? That sounds just like Baptist. Well, at the end of the road, where the road crossed, well, you're talking about the first road, the second road. Which road, Lord? Sound like my youngins are my church members. People say, I ain't saying a while. I saw a boy at the store, Nick. Can't remember his name. Used to live across the road from us. He was all tattooed up and earrings and places that I can't understand. Stuff like that. But I said, what in the world's going on, man? I ain't seen you in forever. And he looked old. He said, we're getting old, Amber boy. I said, you sure are. Real old. I hope to God I don't look like you. Listen. He said, I see that gray up there. He said, we getting old. I said, yeah, I got gray. I said, I did. I give you that. But I got four daughters. Count them. One, two, three, four females. And I live with five females, including my wife. Sprout. I just had about 18 more go gray while I said that. Add on top of that, I pastor a Baptist church. It's a wonder I got any color hair at all. But I said, man, it's good to see you. I said, I'm pastoring right up the road. I'd love for you to come visit. I said, you got children? We got a great youth pro. Man, yeah, really? So he's supposed to be here with his children. Pray for him. Boy named Nick. God knows him. And I'm going to go visit him. And then he told me, he said, boy, this old world has been rough on us, hasn't it? He knew where I had been. He had no idea where God had brought me to. He said, you're pastoring? You are preaching? Oh, yeah. I said, I sure am. Would you ever thought that God would pick somebody up in such a deep, dark hole as I was in, amen, and lift them up out of the muck and the mire, and establish my goings, put a new song in my mouth, and using me to meet his need. God wants to do that with you. Do you know you can be the preacher on your job? God needs a preacher. Do you know the command, preach the word, is not, that's not just to preachers. We're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. That means God don't have God-called preachers down at the on every work site. That means you got to be a preacher. And you got to be a preacher. And you got to be a preacher. And you got to be a preacher. You got to be preaching to God. He needs you. He needs you. He needs you. So, be available. Everybody got that? they were nearby, they were needed, they were nameless. Just says two disciples. Don't say Matthew and Mark or John or Bartholomew. No, just two disciples. It does not matter near as much who you are as it matters who you serve. And who you are ain't going to get nobody saved. But who you serve can save the world. Amen. So be available. You never know who God wants to rescue by using you. But it's dependent upon you and your availability. I got two more points of this message, and ain't no way under the sun I can finish it this morning. And I know we got a whole week of great preaching, but I'm gonna close this morning with this illustration. Talking about being available and how the Lord needs you. I just gave you something that happened, a testimony of something happened to me yesterday at Little Cricket, Waterborne. Somebody looked at me and said, "You preach? You a pastor?" Let me rewind the clock, the calendar, and let's go back probably 20 years, 18, about 18 years. And I said this Wednesday night, Bible talks about not to even speak of things done in darkness. And I'm not going to glorify sin right here. And I'm not going to give glory to Satan. But please hear me and know your preacher didn't always look like he looks this morning. I mean, I'm proud of that big old belly I got. That's a Rochester belly right there. Say, what's a Rochester belly? Just go find a Rochester. You'll find that. You'll find that big old hump right there. Say amen, Brian. I'm proud of that because there was a time I didn't have no belly. I had bones. It's amazing to me. I remember vividly, and I have nightmares about it, and it brings me to tears. These people in this room that it affected so, that I affected so bad and brought so much pain to. It prayed for me so much. And it was at the end. Of what I thought was going to be the end. My wife was gone. My oldest two daughters were only living, and Ellie had just been born, literally. Just brought home from the hospital. I lost my home. We were living in a place somebody let us stay just for a few weeks. And I even messed that whole situation up. I messed everything up because that's what sin does. Sin in you will destroy everything. And I was on a fast track destroying and mutilating everything that come in contact with me. And I come home one night and she was gone. Her and the girls were gone. And I laid in that drug-induced filth of a mindset for days. And I tried to cry, and I couldn't cry because I was so hardened by drugs and sin. And I tried to feel bad that I had lost my wife and my newborn baby, my two little precious babies, a 10-month-old and a newborn. And I couldn't even get a tear out of my eye at losing that. I had lost my home, all my tools, any way to work, my vehicles, was facing prison time for writing bad checks. I mean, everything under the sun you could think bad. And I went, and I remember breaking in the floor. About 3 days of laying there that I can remember. I remember crying to God and saying, Lord, I can't feel nothing. I don't deserve you to speak to me. But Lord, if you would please forgive me. Amen. If you'd just forgive me. I know I've asked before, and I know it didn't last long until I failed you, but Lord, please. And my soul and my spirit and my body broke under Holy Ghost conviction and a godly contrition. I broke, and tears began to drip off my face, and I began to see sin for what sin was, the robber and thief and destroyer. And I began to see all the things, all the people I thought I had, all the people I thought I had fooled, and all the people that I thought didn't have no idea. The Lord began to reveal to me everybody had been seeing. Everybody had been seeing. Everybody knows. Then I began to calculating up and looking, and it was like daggers in my heart, one after another. You lost your wife. You lost your child. You've lost it all. And then more than all that combined, I looked to Him and I saw the broken heart of Jesus over my sin. And I promised Him that day, I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I don't believe in me enough to say I'll never do it again, but Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll do whatever it takes to get away from here. I'll do whatever. I don't know how to fix this, Lord. Sin's got me so mixed up, I don't know how to fix it. But if you'll help me, I will. I'll do whatever. And Jenny, that angel of a woman, come by and picked me up and said, one of your favorite, did you go with me when Brother Brown was at Dr. McAfee's that night? Or I went by. I got a vehicle and got to Dr. Ed McAfee's church that night because I heard Brother Larry Brown was there preaching. And I walked in, felt like a dirty rot, and I was a dirty, rotten sinner. I sat back there about where Bobby's sitting, and I eased in and tried to hide. I went in late because I didn't want nobody to see me. And he preached on, of all things, the prodigal son coming home. He preached on come home. And them big blue blazing eyes of Brother Brown's, and that voice that thundered, he walked all the way back. Didn't know me from Adam's house cat, but a God in heaven knew where I was, and Brother Brown was available and was willing to meet the need of God, and he walked all the way back sensitive to the Holy Spirit and got in my row. Walked, I was the only one back there, the rest, and got in and straddled me nose to nose, and for 5 minutes yelled, go home, go home, go home. God sent me a message, and I told her, I said, we got to get away from here. I said, that go home meant go home to Him, get right with Him. This is it. And me and her said, we'll move, we'll leave family, we'll leave jobs, we'll leave everything to start over and break away so God can build a life in us. And we got in Brother Brown happened to pastor in Augusta, Georgia, and I said, we'll go there. And we went there, she may have said go there. I can't remember. It's such a fog now. But we ended up the next weekend there in a hotel. And from a hotel, God just piled open a path and began to say, here's you a place to live. Here's you a job. people just giving me a place to live and a job. Then when God moved us into a house, a big brick house with an old couple, and he gave me his truck, I'd pawned all my tools, couldn't even go to work. And the man said, I got tools here. You can I'm too old to have these. Take my tools. Take my truck. And God began building my life back and building my life back. And one step after another, God said, if you'll be available, I need to use you because there's millions of people just like you. And now for 15 plus years, I've been doing my best to be available.
Amen.
Because Brother Brown was available to be used that night. And had he not, honestly, I'd probably still be there in the ground.
Amen.
Be available. The Lord hath need thee. Be available. Be available. We'll deal with the rest later. Let's stand on our feet. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, I love you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, that you would want to use somebody like me. But God, you have the same desire for all of your children. You have a need to use them. God, I pulled the curtain back this morning just a little bit of my life and where you've brought me from, God, and where you're taking me to. And Lord God, I pray you would touch the hearts of your children and help them to see, Lord, they're needed. And it ain't me that needs them, Lord, it's you. You have a work to do, and God, you need them to be available. You need them to be close. You need them, oh God, to not have to be named, oh God, to be nearby, just to be there and be needed so that you can accomplish that you have set out to do. No telling how many of me's are out there waiting for somebody like these to come by and say, go home, go home. You may have a brother or a cousin this morning. You may have a coworker. Battling drugs, battling depression, battling running around on all kind, just a mess of a life. Do you realize God put you in contact with them? God's got you in their neighborhood for a reason. He hath need of you. He wants to use you, your touch, your talk, to reach somebody and change their life forever. I thank God somebody was available and willing to be used. Had it not been, you'd be listening to a different preacher this morning. I wonder if there's anybody, as altars are filled, I wonder if there's anybody in here this morning that's never made yourself available to the Lord for true salvation. You've turned over enough leaves, but you don't know that you know the Lord Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Him. You know what church is. You know what church is supposed to be like. But deep down, you have no joy. You have no peace, no satisfaction. And you know it. Deep down, you don't know Him. You just know about Him. If that explains you, if there's never been a change in your life, where old things pass away and all things become new. If that's never happened to you, why not make yourself available? The Lord hath need of you. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you, wash all your past away, and claim you as His own. Would you come? As these are praying, would you come? There's several still weeping in the altar. You pray, Christians pray.